Hello, welcome back to Burger Bounce, a podcast by Steak and Honour. My name's Charlie and I'm your host for this series. Today it's episode 2. We're going to be talking to Neil Baradwa, owner of Cambridge Fruit Company.
Hello, good morning, how are you?
Morning, I'm all right. We've been talking for about an hour already, so we should really get into it, shouldn't we now?
Absolutely, I'm ready for it.
Right, so Neil, you are real big supporter of local business and really enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
Tell us how you got started. How did Cambridge Fruit Co. come about? Where did it all start for you?
Oh man, so I used to work for a bank in London.
Did you? I did not know that.
I went to university, got my economics degree, and then I got a job for a bank in London. And then September 2004, when my first child was born, I got my 2 weeks paternity leave. And then on the first day back to work, they made me redundant. We just got bought by another company, an American firm, and they just chopped a load of people, and one of those people was me. And then I remember thinking, I was so gutted at the time, and I remember just thinking it was the end of my world. But how old was I? I would have been 25. I rang a friend of mine from a lay-by in Leamington Spa, which is where we all got the chop from. And he said, Neil, don't worry, this is probably be the best thing for you.
Yeah.
Which I didn't get at the time. But then we had like 6 month gardening leave and all this stuff, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. But what I did know is that I wanted to work for myself.
Yeah.
Because someone said a phrase to me. They said, "Why bother making money for someone else? Well, just do it for yourself." And I thought, well, do you know what? I was quite inspired by that. I felt quite secure. I was still living at home, and I thought, yeah, sod it. Let's give it a go. So that's where it came about. Now, I was inspired by the Crane family. I don't know if you know the Crane. Do you know Shelley and Sarah, the stall on the market?
Just
a few streets away from here. So they've got the tea and coffee stall. Now, their mum and dad used to own a fruit and veg stall.
Okay.
Opposite M&S, and it was really nice. It was absolutely beautiful. And they've got a brother called Russell, who's a friend of mine, and we kind of grew up in our sort of teenage years. And I was just really inspired by fruit and veg. And I thought it was an amazing sort of twist, completely different to what I'd known. And I thought I would use my redundancy money from the bank to set up a fruit and veg van and drive around street to street and selling to homes, to customers and homes. I'd bring back some old school industry.
We used to have that when I was a kid. We used to have a greengrocer's van that used to come to our street when we were a kid and sell like fruit and veg, and it had the odd like chocolate bar or whatever on there as well.
Yeah.
His name was Alan. Alan's greengrocers used to come around our street.
Really? Whereabouts in Cambridge?
In Northampton.
Wow.
That would have been like the 80s, late 80s.
Yeah, so my idea was to have a fleet of vans doing that. But the problem was, so I started it in late November 2004, I think it was. And the first week was all right. I went in the flyer loads of streets and stuff, and then I went around the streets tooting my horn. But then, I think after about 2 weeks, there was one day where it just hammered it down with rain. And I was like, I've got a van full of gear, I need to shift it, it's peeing down with rain, this isn't going to be sustainable.
Yeah.
So I rang my mate again, the one who I mentioned, Sunil. So he's the one who inspired me earlier. He said, why don't you try doing what you're doing, but do it on the science park and the business park? Because every time you knock a door there, you're going to have like 100 people behind the door, as opposed to, you know, one person. Mm. So I did it there and then that day. So I went around the science park and the business park, and it was just, it went absolutely crazy. Then what I had, so down one side of my van, I had all my veg.
Yeah.
And down the other side of the van, I had all my fruit. And then what was happening was people were coming out of their offices and they were buying fruit for their workplace. They just have a banana at the desk or whatever. And then they were buying vegetables to take home to make dinner or whatever and kind of that way. And then it got to the point where the companies themselves are saying to me, Neil, can you just deliver us a box of fruit in our kitchen?
So we can have it on the side, people can help themselves, whatever.
Yes, yeah, so we can have it in the kitchen, staff can help themselves and we'll pay for it. And my first customer was Sony, which, like, when you think like mega multinational... international brand like Sony. I was like, oh my god, this is going to be amazing. So then it grew. So then what happened was the fruit boxes into workplaces, and Cambridge being Cambridge, there's so many good workplaces here. They just took over the round, and we just stopped doing the delivery rounds after a while, and then we just started doing fruit boxes into workplaces. And then what happened was it just kind of evolved really when people started hearing and seeing what we were doing. So like cafes and pubs and primary schools, nurseries. Or everybody started wanting our fruit and veg. So we got to the point of, we had about 150-ish customers pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic hit. So we're doing all right for the last, you know, 15 years or so. And then the pandemic hit last year. And that's when it just, you know.
Went to the roof.
Or went, well. So that week of the pandemic, mid-March 2020, wasn't it? Yeah, last year. I thought I'd lost everything. Because all the offices, all the customers, all the schools, everyone is emailing me. We don't need any fruit. We're working from home. The schools are closing, blah, blah, blah. And I honestly thought I'd lost everything. 15 years of hard work. And just right now, I'm just getting a bit of a lump in my throat. I was so emotional.
I bet.
I just bought a house. And it was a month after I just bought a house. And I really thought I was going to lose everything. And then it occurred to me, I was like, because this is something my mum said to me right at the beginning, going back again 15 years.
Yeah.
When I was thinking of a business to start, mum said to me, she goes, everybody needs to eat.
It's true.
Right? Economy good, economy bad, whatever. Everybody needs to eat. And I thought, hang on a minute, I'm doing something wrong here. Because for 15 years, we'd been trade only. And we hadn't really served like domestic customers.
Yeah.
So we just added a page on our website. It was on the Wednesday night. We added a page on our website. And I don't know if you remember mid-March last year, the supermarket, you couldn't, the shelves were empty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You couldn't get delivery slots.
Yeah.
People were stocking up like the toilet roll and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was chaos. It was chaos, wasn't it?
Absolute chaos. And because luckily I'd developed a bit of a Twitter following.
Yeah.
And I had been tweeting all the way through this. All that week I was saying, like, you know, how I was having a bloodbath at work and I was worried about everything, blah, blah, blah. And then I told everyone, I've set up a page on the website. You can have a big box of fruit and veg or a small box of fruit and veg. And then it went absolutely crazy. It doubled what we were doing before. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know if I could get the cardboard boxes.
What have I actually done now?
Like, yeah.
There's too much demand.
We'd unleashed this beast and I didn't know how to, we'd never done e-commerce either because we were trade only, right? It was phone calls and invoices and 30-day payments. But now we have this e-commerce site, people paying us in advance. So I was really worried. I was like, I've got your money. I've really got to deliver on this because the last thing I want is an unhappy customer to, like, I don't know, we miss them out or get there really late or something.
Especially now because you're customer facing now as well.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Before it was like one step, now you're directly talking with the customer. That's it, isn't it?
Exactly that. So then we had to increase our social media. We had to increase the number of vans that we had. And it was just absolutely insane. And then what's happened was over the last year or so, it's kind of quieting down a little bit now. The landscape's completely changed. The supermarkets have upped their games again, deliveries and all that stuff. But we're slowly, the restaurants and the schools and the offices, they're slowly coming back now.
So you're kind of, it's balancing out now.
Yeah.
Because I still think there's a need for that. I think, you know, the same with us. We were getting stuff delivered in, like all sorts of stuff that we would never normally during the pandemic. And
right.
I definitely think there's a...
Still, you mean at home? You mean,
at home. That, which we just wouldn't. And we couldn't get, like everyone else, we never got like supermarket deliveries, so we were never able to then get them, you know, like all of this.
Yeah.
But I still think there's a need for it. I think it's one of those things that, even coming out of everything and everything else opening up, I still think people like the fact that they can get a veg box delivered to their door because they would have never done it before. Then they realise that, hang on, this is so easy. I'm working all week. I can't get to the supermarket. I'll just make that call or I'll just go online, bam, it's done, and we're good. And
yeah.
I think that it's still really valid. Like, it's still going to be stable.
I agree. I think the pandemic has definitely changed people's habits, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like, we never, do you know, to be fair, at home, we actually don't get much delivered apart from, like, Amazon and ASOS and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But people's habits have definitely changed, for sure. And this is a complete game changer now for everybody. So everyone is having everything delivered. That's my next beef, actually, with, like, not beef, but, like, I want to see transport rules changed. Mm-hmm. You know, like parking bays and loading bays and stuff like that, because it's so much harder for people like us now to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Like double yellow lines everywhere and loading bays. Anyway, that's another separate thing. I'm digressing a bit, but yeah, that's my thing at the moment. Just make parking easier, please, Cambridge City Council, for deliveries. Anyway, back to you.
Great. So that's great, fantastic.
That's our story.
So it's still, so you're in a good place with it all. Things are still, like, rocking and rolling. You're still doing your home deliveries to everybody. And then obviously your wholesale is now kind of getting back up.
Yeah, exactly. We're still lower than where we were, where we would have been.
Yeah.
But it's heading the right way. There's only a bunch of positives to come out of this.
Amazing.
I think we've built a real good reputation for ourselves because we did loads of work for charity as well.
I know, I was just going to have to say about this.
Yeah.
You did a lot, you were working and doing a lot of stuff, which was amazing. I was, like, following it and it was just so great, the amount of stuff that you were like donating to the Cambridge Food Hub.
That's right, the Cambridge Food Hub, and then we started working with the Red Hen Project. So going back to that night when I added those two products to the website, we started getting emails from and orders from all over the world, and then we were getting orders from customers like in New York and the Middle East and New Zealand. And I was like, what's going on here? And they were saying, please send this box to a vulnerable family, someone who can't afford it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But then the other thing is, this is going to sound a bit dark, but I don't know any vulnerable families, or at least I didn't think I did.
Yeah.
So I tweeted the Deputy Mayor, Alex Collis, you probably know her.
Yeah, we've worked with her as well.
She's amazing. Yeah. And she's so in touch with everything that goes on in Cambridge. I tweeted her, I said, what do I do? Where do I send these boxes? She said, right, I'd like to connect you with the Red Hen Project.
Yeah.
They're a little tiny charity in CB4. There's a CB4 postcode in Cambridge, and they are literally just a few streets away from where our warehouse is. They'll come and take the boxes away from you, and they'll deliver them to some vulnerable families. Because they had the same problem. They couldn't go to the supermarkets to look after the families that they were looking after. So that went insane. And then, of course, the NHS as well. Loads of customers were going online to our website and ordering fruit boxes to send to the nurses and the doctors and the scientists all on the front line trying to battle COVID. So that kind of kept us going for most of last year. It was just
It's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And all the notes as well, because I remember seeing like the notes in the boxes that were going out, and I think it was great.
I was handwriting all the notes just to the nurses on Ward C4 whatever from David Bloggs. You know what I mean? It was just really nice. And because I was tweeting this all through it, and everyone was just following the story, and it was kind of magical, actually, looking back.
Yeah,
it was really nice, man.
And really important, actually. And I think, you know, you just saying, like, you know, I didn't know any vulnerable families throughout this. You're now way more aware of actually what's going on in your own city. Like a lot of us are, you know, you're here, we're in Cambridge.
Yep.
It's a really like affluent city. It's this, it's that. It's actually not.
It's
not. And you know, the same with, you know, Leo and Tom from Steak and Honor and Jack, they cooked through Alex. So they were cooking throughout the first lockdown on a Wednesday. And get I think Rosie was. There was a group of people.
Yeah.
Liz from Modern Table, she was. And they were creating meals.
Anne Beamish from Indie Cambridge. I think she was a part of that as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And they were all, and it was, so these meals were then kind of going to the hubs and going out. And I just think doing that and everyone being aware of that and seeing what's actually going on in the city that we live in is hugely important. And I think it opened a lot of people's eyes to it.
Yep.
And they're never going to be close to it now because you're aware, you know
it's
what's happening.
It's so true. And even, actually, believe it or not, a family friend of ours, she said to me, Neil, I've used the Red Hen Project. They're an amazing charity. I had no idea they were, you know, in that position.
It makes me emotional. It made me emotional when Leo was cooking and Tom and everyone, and he'd go in on a Wednesday and do it. And I just used to just feel, it was emotional.
I remember seeing.
We have food. We're good. And it was just heartbreaking that there's people that don't have that stuff available.
Absolutely agree.
Who have children, you know, all of that. And it was, I think it was an amazing thing. I think what Alex Collis did and continues to do is absolutely amazing.
She's such a hard working girl. And actually, while we're on it, actually, she's doing a lot of work with the food bank in Cherry Hinton.
Yeah.
And I think she was on the radio this morning, actually. They need stuff. So if you toiletries, tin food, anything, anybody locally wants to donate there, please go.
Yeah.
Cherry Hinton, St Andrew Church, Cherry Hinton, bottom of Coldham's Lane.
Okay.
Here we go.
Go and do that.
Yeah.
Excellent. So taking it back to food.
Food.
So talk to me about your childhood. Food in your childhood. What were you eating? Were you cooking? What was going on? What were you eating in your childhood?
Right, we're going to go deep now. It's a deep dive into my life.
Let's go.
And I'll tell you why. So you might not realise, just from hearing my voice, I'm Indian. I'm of Indian heritage. My parents came here. They're Indian, but they came here from Africa.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever watched the film The Last King of Scotland.
Yeah.
He was a Ugandan nutcase who wanted all the Indians out of Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania. And my parents were part of that.
Okay.
And they had 100 days to leave East Africa.
Wow.
So the British government invited them up here to live. So my parents were part of that. So they came here in the late 60s.
To Cambridge.
Right. So Dad and his brother went to Birmingham.
Okay.
Dad hated it.
Okay.
His brother went to stayed in Birmingham and Dad came to Cambridge. And he just fell in love with this city. He wanted his kids to be educated here. And he was just like, this is the place for me. So dad taught himself. He got his not a scholarship. What's it called? He got an apprenticeship with. He had an obsession with like radio and TV. This is the early 70s now. And then he basically was the TV repairman who would turn up at your house if your TV broke down. And that's what
the,
he did.
The massive box that would be in the front room that was like a metre wide.
The cathode ray TVs. We used to have loads in our garage and stuff. And then so mum did various like administrating jobs and stuff like that in and around Cambridge. But both of them spent a lot of time at Pye. I don't know if you remember Pye, P-Y-E. Huge like TV manufacturer type thing. So yeah, that's what they did. So my background, so we, home cooked food, always home cooked food. We never ate out. If you think about my parents' mentality, they've just come from Africa with not a huge amount of money.
Of course.
Eating out, my first experience of eating out was at a birthday party, mid 80s, being invited to Wimpy in the middle of Cambridge.
Wimpy.
I do not recall ever eating out with my parents. Until I'd probably be 13, 14.
But it's interesting because I'm the same. So
right.
I grew up, we're the same age, aren't we?
Yeah.
So obviously when I grew up in the 80s, early 90s, but I was the same. We didn't go out to eat.
Yeah.
Like my parents cooked at home.
Yep.
We didn't even get takeaway. Like it was like if I'm in my head, I can remember.
Yeah.
Again, my first memories of going out were birthday parties to Wimpy or McDonald's or
whatever.
We didn't do those things.
It's really weird though, because I always thought it was weird, because I was 6 or 7 years old and I'm going to some kid in my class's birthday party at the Wimpy. Then when it was my birthday, it was invite all the kids over to our home, and with like mum's like frying samosas and like making Indian food, and I felt a bit weird. I was like it sounds strange, but I felt kind of like, oh my God, this is really strange. I don't know if my classmates are going to like this, or am I in or out? I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Looking back now, it was like pretty weird upbringing, actually. Pretty strange and a bit of a head fuck, if you can think about it like that. But yeah, so we didn't eat out. Here's the other thing as well, right? My parents are Hindu, which means, so they were vegetarian.
Yeah.
Beef is a big no-no.
Mm-hmm.
Beef is like a sin, right? So I couldn't eat beef. So I never ate beef in my life. However, it was really weird because I had like school dinners at school, and I remember like them serving up beef patties, and I just remember thinking, I'm not allowed to eat that. And I think I ate one by mistake and feeling really weird that I shouldn't have eaten this, and it was disgusting as well. I was just really grossed out by it. So that was that. However, and I hope this moves on nicely to what you're going to talk about next. My second ever job I got was at Burger King in Cambridge.
Yeah.
So I was 16, it was during the Euros.
You were 96, I was just talking about this recently, actually.
Yeah, and mum and dad obviously didn't care where I worked. They just, go out and earn money.
Yeah.
So my first job was at Eden Lilly, helping a friend out, but the second job was at Burger King. And I absolutely loved it. It was a whole new world to me. I felt a bit naughty because I couldn't eat the beef.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember eating, because I had to make them. I had to assemble the burgers.
Yeah.
I remember getting, there was a big freezer, a big deep chest freezer, and you'd get a frozen solid disc out of beef out. Then you'd put it in this grill, and then it'd flow through the machine and like flame grilling it, and then it'd flop out the other side in this greasy like patty. And then I had to assemble a burger out of it, and I remember it so well because then you get the bread out of this like steaming bun machine thing, and then there was a lid on one side, and you put the patty on the bottom, and then on the lid you had to put the cheese and the onion and the lettuce and the tomato and the pickle, and you put the mayonnaise and the ketchup on it, and then you get the burger on the other bit, and you put it upside down onto the top bit where you just loaded the salad, and then you flip it over again and wrap it up. Yeah, and I was doing like hundreds of those a day. It was an amazing thing. But then I started eating them. I started eating burgers.
Oh, you did? So
yep.
You actually did go and
yep.
eat.
I just do not hope my mum hears this podcast.
Well, what was the dish when you were a kid that was your favourite thing? Like, what do you remember as like, if it was, on the menu that day, you'd be like, yes.
Do you know what? It's really, it's just, probably just a simple, again, they were vegetarian, right? So pea and potato curry.
Yum.
Because they're vegetarian, right? And a chapati.
Yum.
And some pickle on the side. Some sweet, sweet carrot pickle.
Delicious.
Yeah. My mouth's watering just thinking about it. So that's what my mum would make, my gran would make. That's just soul food, that is.
So that's like your comfort food. If you were like,
yeah,
your comfort food, your go-to would be something like that.
Yeah, potato and pea curry. with
would
just
they put that in samosas as well?
Yeah, but that'll be a different type. It'll be a different. That'd be like dry fried,
okay,
dry cooked yeah. with cumin and other spices. Yeah. It wouldn't be like with tomato.
It wouldn't be wet.
It wouldn't
basically.
Be wet. Yeah.
Okay.
So that'd be completely different. Some different spices, and they'd stuff that into samosas. Yeah, yeah. And but funny though, because my dad used to eat meat back then, and a big treat then was lamb samosas. Yeah, and then we'd me, my sisters, we'd be sat around the table filling up, and Mum wouldn't do it because she was a vegetarian, right? But we'd be filling up the fried lamb mix mm-hmm. into the cooked lamb mix into the samosas, and then we'd seal it down with like a potato, like a flour and water mix,
yeah.
like the glue. We'd glue it across the samosa, fold it open, and then Mum would fry them off. Oh, and then we'd eat that. And then
she'd literally fry them, put them on a thing, and then you'd just be eating them
straight
away.
Yeah. yeah, and you'd have a bit of lemon. No, we didn't have fresh lemons. It was lemon juice. And then you'd pour it into the samosa. You'd have a bite of it. You pour it into your samosa.
You're making my mouth
completely
water. That sounds amazing.
It was so nice. So that for me, even now, I'd choose a lamb samosa. Oh. It's
yeah.
I'm getting hungry now.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, basically just sitting here staring at you.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, really nice. So lamb samosas, potato curry, that's what I grew up with. Just all Indian food. We never really ate English food. I think Mum used to make pasta every now and then, but she'd make the sauce like a spicy Indian sauce.
Just
which,
whack some pasta through it.
Yeah, and it didn't really work. And now, honestly, you're right, and it's a bit of an Indian auntie thing, and like, it doesn't work. It's just, no.
Do you
pasta.
Cook at home? What do you sort of things do you mm-hmm. do the cooking at home, or do as your wife?
We kind of split it, really.
Yeah.
And I love cooking. Mm-hmm. Stick me in the kitchen 2-3 hours, and I will, oh, mate, I really do love cooking. I like putting some house music on, a bit of Defected,
yeah.
bottle of wine. On a weekend, that is, not on a school night. And then I will cook. So I have any kind of minced lamb curry, lamb. I keep mentioning lamb, don't I?
You do.
Lamb chops, chicken curry. What else do I make? I make nice pastas, lasagna. What else do I make? Nice sort of grilled chicken kebabs. Just anything. Yeah.
yeah.
Saturday night, during lockdown, it was quite good actually, because that was my sort of zen time, my release time. I'd go in the kitchen. My kitchen's really small as well. I don't like people being in the kitchen with me when I'm cooking. So yeah, just lock myself in there, and then 3 hours later, I'd just
present this food to them.
Yeah, I'd be a bit drunk by then, and then we'd just sit around the table, just having just good food and spicy rice, and yeah, I love cooking. I will try anything as well.
Oh,
like a good
amazing.
Roast. I love a roast dinner.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
I love a roast.
I like, what would I roast at home? I would make roast chicken. Yeah, nice roast chicken.
You can't, I think a good roast chicken is up there.
Absolutely,
like,
man.
You know, like, because I think, like, oh yeah, roast beef, I like them all. You know, I couldn't choose.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
a good roast chicken with really good stuffing and bread sauce and all of like the trimmings and
yeah.
it's up there for me.
Christmas dinner.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it.
I could probably eat Christmas dinner, right? Take the turkey out. Mm-hmm. Just give me
the trimmings.
Pigs in blankets.
Yeah.
Right, and then everything else, the stuffing and the potato. Oh man, and smothered it all in gravy.
I can eat that. Gravy's got to be good. I'm like a bit of a gravy snob. So, it needs to be really nice, just good, quite thick consistency. Like,
would it be like proper gravy? Like
proper gravy,
like
yeah.
flour on the pan
yeah.
and all that.
The thing is, my dad trained as a chef back in the 60s, so he did a bit of cooking. He mostly cooked at weekends.
Right.
So he'd do the Sunday roast, and he would do. I remember watching him meat juices, the flour, root, and he'd do all that.
Really?
So my dad's gravy was like just the best thing ever. But Leo is now. His gravy, yeah, his gravy's up there with my dad's now.
Really?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Right.
But it's got to be all the juices and then using the water from the veg.
Amazing.
In it as well, and then yeah.
Oh, really. So we're a Bisto family.
I mean,
so we're like instant gravy.
Don't get me
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a Bisto. If my kids are eating during the week,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not making that. I'm of the Bisto.
Right. Okay.
That's to be fair. That's it.
I do want to give it a go though. Don't get me wrong. I'm gonna actually next time I make a roast dinner, I'm gonna try the whole pan roux.
You should.
Flour
it's
thing.
Like, yeah.
I'm gonna give it a good blast. Bit of wine. Will there be a bit of wine in there?
Not?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna give it a go.
Right.
Yes.
I'm gonna ask the question that we're all here to know, which is Neil.
Yeah.
What's the best burger you've ever had? What was in it? Where did you have it? Tell us about it.
Oh, right. So this would probably be, so again, going back to my Burger King working days.
I mean, let's go. Come on. I'm here for this.
It would have been my first time I ever had a Whopper. And it was, so I'd made it myself, right? And it was pretty spectacular. It was a single Whopper, and I laid it up with, I made it as, you know, as you're supposed to make it. And I was like, oh my God, this is really nice. But then someone else said to me, you've got to put bacon in it. So I, and cheese. So I had some the next time I did it, and I was there every day, right? So I was 16, right? I was thin as a stick. You could eat whatever the hell you wanted worrying about it, right?
The good old days.
Yeah, so I'd assembled this Whopper. Then the next day I'd graduated, escalated it to a double Whopper. And then I'd escalated it further to a double Whopper with cheese and bacon, right? And then, about a week later, one of the guys I was working with, I remember him well, he goes, try putting onion rings inside the burger.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
So now I'm eating this double Whopper, cheese and bacon with onion rings. And then he said, what do you say? Put barbecue sauce in it instead of the ketchup. So I've got this, do you know what? It's probably about half a kilo of massive burger. And I was having that for lunch with chicken nuggets on the side. And I was doing that every day when I was 16. And then, do you know what I mean? You don't worry about stuff like that, do you?
No.
But that burger, oh my God, just thinking about it now.
I mean, it sounds great.
Yeah, I made it myself.
So you could have, the thing is, you can make it how you actually like it as well. So if you like the bun a little bit more toasted, then you could do that.
Or yeah.
If you want that, you know, so you kind of created this, probably the best burger.
Magnificent beast of a burger. It was just a joyous moment for me. I was like, oh my God, I've just entered the world of,
do you know what,
of burgers here.
One of my guilty pleasures when I was a lot younger, and I used to, when I was living in London, I used to go out and have some drinks. And then the next morning or the next afternoon, doing that, going home after you'd stayed, you know, at your friend's house, I used to go to Burger King.
Right.
And I'd get a bacon double cheeseburger.
Beautiful.
And honestly, it was delicious. And I remember I used to do this, like, not a lot, but quite frequently.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything else. It wasn't a Whopper. It was always just a bacon double cheeseburger from Burger King. Because it would usually be like in a railway station. You know, there's always going to be King's Cross or whatever. So it always just like...
And you can eat it in one hand.
It wasn't that big, but it was just enough. It was meaty, cheesy. That was my thing for a while. That was my hangover thing.
Oh, man.
I don't regret it. It was amazing.
Have you ever had a preference growing up, like Burger King versus McDonald's?
Okay.
Is this a thing we're allowed to talk about?
Yeah, that's fine. So, Burger King fries, no, they're bad. McDonald's fries are superior to Burger King fries, in my opinion.
But you remember...
They're really good. When you get McDonald's fries straight out of the fry, they are off the chain.
Agreed.
They're so good.
Agreed.
I don't think Burger King fries are that good.
They changed them, didn't they? I think probably about 10, 15 years ago, they changed their fries recipe. So I think they're like, there's salt included in them or something weird.
This is not for me.
But you know...
But burger-wise,
yeah,
because of the whole bacon double cheeseburger thing... I would probably go that over a McDonald's. We had a McDonald's not that long ago for my son's birthday.
Right.
I know. And I saw an advert for like a Big Tasty, and I said to Leo, I'm gonna have that. And Leo was like, really? I was like, yeah. So it had like bacon and lettuce, and it looked good.
Sounds
so I ordered
good.
It was disgusting.
Oh no!
Absolutely disgusting. And
got
Leo,
you.
It said, I don't know why you deviated from like the classics. Like,
yeah.
Never. Like, just stick to what you know.
Stick with what you know.
Like,
yeah.
That's absolutely right. But, so I would say Burger King burgers,
right.
McDonald's fries.
Okay, so you're, right, let's say right opposite us right now, you're really hungry, there's a Burger King on the left and a McDonald's on the right, which would you do? What would you do?
I'd go into Burger King, get bacon double cheeseburger, and then go into McDonald's and get some fries.
Really? Oh, mate, what would I do? So I'd go to Burger King and have a Whopper, right? And their fries and their onion rings, because McDonald's don't do onion rings.
They don't do onion rings,
which
that's
is
true.
Such a shame, man.
That is true.
I love onion rings.
And they're breaded, like a breaded onion ring. Yeah.
I do like a good onion ring.
Yeah.
Love a good, hence why I put them in my first burgers.
I think everyone's going to have to try this. You know, they're going to have to.
It's
like
I'm
off menu
now.
Burger King burger.
Mm. Yeah.
So they can go in and just order exactly what you've had in there.
Do you know whose fries I don't like?
Whose?
KFC.
No, they're all. Bleh. No, they're not good fries either.
Horrible.
They're
like weird, soggy little packets.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're small.
Yeah.
Really small.
Yeah, they're not great.
Anyway, I don't know if we're here to talk about
it. We have, it's absolutely fine.
But yeah, but I think most people's experiences with a burger will be one of the main, you know, the mainstream burger giants, right?
I think the thing is with eating any type of food, is it's all about the experience. And I've probably said this on every single episode that we've done so far, but but I really, you know, believe it. It's about the experience. It's about where you're at, who you're with, when it is. It's
Agreed.
Not always about, you know, it having the best ingredients and having the this, the that. It's just, you know, I was really happy on that day and I had this burger and it was great. Like, and that is as simple as it can be.
You're bang on the money.
So it can be your very first Big Mac is the best burger you've ever had. Or, you know, all those things. And it's, everything's valid because, it's everyone's individual experiences of food on that day.
It was for me, it was that double whopper, cheese and bacon with onion rings in it during the Euro 96. We'd just beaten Holland 4-1, I think it was. Do you remember that? I think, was it did we beat Germany 5-1? I can't remember now. And that was, mate, that for me, that summer, because I'd just, you know, first work experience and then spending all my wages on like a cool shirt for the weekend and being out and about. That for me, my burger experience at Burger King, mid 90s.
I love it.
A brilliant time for me.
That's amazing. Neil, thank you so much for coming on.
I want to carry on talking.
I know. Well, we can do. It's fine. Well, we'll just have to turn this off.
I'm really...
people might be getting bored by now.
I've got my jab in 2 hours.
There you go.
But yeah, anyway, sorry.
thank you so much for coming on. I
Absolute
really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
And yeah, we could talk all day. But thank you. And if you want your fruit and veg, Cambridge Fruit Company...
.com.
There we go.
And if you're going back to work anytime soon, corporate fruit, that's us in Cambridge. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
You can follow Neil on Twitter at Mr. Neil B. Order fruit and veg for your home or business at www.cambridgefruitcompany.com. Join me next time for episode 3.